Good morning. Today is Friday, the 21st of April.
Spring is here.
Yeah.
Spring is in Arcata.
Oh, is that the new positioning statement? All right. Well, I guess we have something to talk about then. Karen Deemer's alongside this morning. Are you ready for your question? See
Never.
If I can find something that's somewhat spring-related.
Spring-related would be good.
Yeah, it would be good, but I'm not sure it's going to happen here. That's too long. I was going to go with blow-off steam.
Blow-off steam.
Yeah, that might not have to do with
Might not have to
spring,
do with spring.
But it might have to do with
railroads?
Public meetings.
I think people come to public meetings to blow off steam, probably. But I'm guessing that's not the origin of the saying.
I would suspect not.
I would guess that it would have to do with railroads and releasing excess energy. But I have obviously no idea.
Apparently there's something magical in the water this morning.
Well, yes.
Because you
lemon sorbet bubbly.
Yeah. Is it too sweet?
Not for Arcata.
Not. Oh, game on. Okay. It took years for trainmen to learn how to handle locomotives. Hot fires were required in order to keep the steam in order for the engine to move. But when an engine halted, steam pressure could rise quickly. There were no safety valves, so at intervals, the engineer had to pull a lever and blow off the steam to prevent an explosion. In the 1830s, a locomotive was a thing of awe when quiet and still. A person who for the first time saw the iron monster blow off steam never forgot that incident. Observers compared such an explosive incident with a sudden display of temper. Now we're getting into the public meeting part.
I thought we were talking about SpaceX and Elon Musk.
Oh, okay. Soon adopted into the speech of merchants and travelers, anyone indulging in a colorful outburst was said to be blowing off steam.
There you go.
So you nailed it.
There it is.
Not that you have any experience with that situation, huh? I noticed that there are not parliamentarians anymore in any public meetings. Just an observation.
Yeah, I've always referred to it as spirited debate.
Spirits often are involved. Okay, I can work with that. Robust is the one that I've always had fun with. Because nobody uses that word
anymore.
Spirits are used nightly for a lot of folks, I think, and a contributing factor. So how's the housing project coming along? Is it
so many housing projects, actually. So we've got Cal Poly will be breaking ground in early May on just over 1,000 beds at what's called the Craftsman Mall site.
Does that mean big toys there, moving things around.
And yeah, there'll be
noise
big toys
and stuff. Okay.
Yeah, they'll be demoing everything that's on site.
Visible
and
signs.
Starting clean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So they will be underway shortly on that project. I still don't think they anticipate students in those rooms until fall of 25. I mean, it's a pretty significant construction project. So, but we'll see. We'll get started. Danco is still working on their home key conversion out in the Valley West area at the old Red Roof Inn. So hoping to have those units open this summer. And
that's not student related, is it?
No, that's a home key project. So that is housing for those currently unsheltered, unhoused in this region. And those names.
Now in summertime, we had typically we'll get an influx because the weather's nice and it's really hot inland. Is there a residential or a permanency requirement
for
folks that have been here for a period of time?
Sure. It's based on vulnerability, but you have to be in the system. So if you've just come to town, you're probably not in Humboldt County's system. You haven't accessed services through the county or through one of the service providers, whether it's Open Door Clinic or Arcata House Partnership or Betty Chin. So, you know, those individuals that are in the system whose vulnerabilities are better identified through that system, you know, are going to rank higher in that system. But it is based on need. So, but we'll see. It'll be several units. It's 80 units of housing. So that could be upwards of 100, 120 potential individuals that would receive housing. And
so is that a family? A lot of these are either single guys or they preclude guys.
Nope, they don't preclude. So it'll be a mix. You know, I think it will predominantly be single individuals. But we have found with the initial one that we opened that, you know, I think at least a dozen, 15 of those units are more than one individual, whether they're small families or, you know, they're not huge units. So I do think the Red Roof has a couple of more family units that are being built in with multiple bedrooms, where the Grove, I think, was all kind of single room occupancy, but often, you know, could fit two or three people if needed.
And this is a partnership you have with Arcata House?
This is two. So Arcata House owns, so the city's role in it really is just the bank, the fiduciary. You know, we get the money from the state and the federal government, and we hold it, and we, you know, allocate it out as they meet the milestones of their grant. That really is our role. One property is owned by Arcata House Partnership and renovated and operated. The other property is owned by Danco, is being renovated right now, and Danco will operate that. They are working in conjunction with Redwood Community Action Agency, so which is another local nonprofit based out of Eureka. And they haven't, RCAA, as it's often called, hasn't worked in housing in Arcata for a long time. So we're excited to see another provider. We lean a lot on Arcata House Partnership in Arcata, and they've been a fabulous partner. But they're stretched really, really thin. There is a lot of need. They're looking, you know, one of the largest demographics that they see is really being unstable in housing, either losing housing or homeless currently, is our senior population. So their next project they're really focused on is trying to find a space to do senior housing.
That's a whole different image, I think, for a lot of folks.
It is, but the vulnerability is real in our communities right now in terms of food insecurity and housing insecurity for seniors.
With some of the mobility issues associated with that age group, seniors not being 62 plus.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, and you're laughing about that. Okay, fine. It's more the frail end of that, or is it really a 60 or 65 and older? How is senior defined for this particular concept?
I think it's defined as 55 and older, and I don't think it has necessarily anything to do with health, and it's going to, you know, have to do with age and then economic status.
It's just an age thing.
Yeah, or disabilities. Often these types of projects also would accept somebody of any age with disabilities that, you know, require assistance.
It's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about chicken of the sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Karen Diemer. So you've got some of these projects that are kind of at the north end of town. Is there, in the past, there had been discussion about, I guess, mixed use is kind of within the housing concept. Is there an overt effort to concentrate in one area for efficiencies of service delivery? Or to spread out the various locations so that one neighborhood doesn't get carrying a heavier load, so to speak?
Sure. You know, Arcata has pretty established neighborhoods already, you know, in most of those neighborhoods. I mean, I think when people are looking at redesigning cities or looking at trying to increase the ability to get all of your needs met within that neighborhood so that you could walk or take your bike or roll or at least stop on your way home, that you're not overly utilizing your car to then be able to meet all of your needs and, you know, in the community.
Yeah, so, the car's turning into being the bad guy now, isn't it?
It's the next bad guy, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And so to that end, you know, we've got several neighborhoods in Arcata that our long-range planning is looking at not only to densify housing, but to also bring mixed use so that you've got retail, you've got grocery stores, you've got restaurants, you've got entertainment, where you can get your needs, your basic living needs met within your neighborhood. So yeah, we've got several. The biggest one, you know, that has maybe some of the largest potential is what's being called the Gateway Area. And it's sort of north of Samoa and then west of K Street, which is sort of that southwestern corner of Arcata. But if you think of the Samoa corridor, you know, if you're just driving in Arcata along Samoa, you feel like you're almost leaving town. There's, you know, the land is so vacant, but there is quite a bit of underutilized property in those areas. So looking at what could you do.
Not where the cows are or the buffalo.
No buffalo, no. I mean, there's a mill site that is operating now on one of the properties. But
that's kind of where the extension ends, or that delineation point.
Yeah, all the way down to V Street. So there is, you know, our safe parking program is out there, but that's all that's utilizing, you know, a pretty sizable piece of acreage there, you know, for just a few cars. So there's, it's what used to be called the Cal Barrel factory years ago, and there's just a lot of pieces of it that haven't been developed. So there's a lot of opportunity in that neighborhood, but as well as Northtown and out around Spear, out by the hospital. The hospital actually came in to talk with the council about, you know, adding additional space and additional housing and services on a lot of acres that they own right around the hospital. So I'd say really each of the neighborhoods in Arcata have sort of a unique character to them, but all of them are being looked at to how to create a more livable sense within that neighborhood.
The neighborhood focus is different than the city focus, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
When they come at odds, how do you work through those?
Yeah, you work through with a lot of spirited debate. This is where we started today's show, right? These are the challenging decisions that our Planning Commission is wrestling with right now. They're meeting Friday and Saturday this week, in addition to their regular twice-a-month meetings, to wrestle with just these issues. What is a vision that we can get behind in Arcata? The idea of long-range planning is to put on paper what the community's vision is for development, so that when a private property owner goes to develop their property, they have a document they can look at to say, here's what the community has approved. So we go line by line through, you know, potential list of codes and policies for sometimes specifically for each neighborhood, if not for the city as a whole. And our planning commissioners, which are just volunteer residents of the city, wrestle with each and every word and create recommendations that a council will ultimately approve. And that becomes that book of codes that we develop by.
With someone who is a current property owner, are they subject to the changes? Is there grandfather clauses typically included? How does that happen so that no one feels like they're being either ignored or taken advantage of?
Yeah, I think the way it happens is that they need to be involved. You know, the property owners whose properties could be affected by what we typically refer to as just changes in zoning. Your property right now
could be used. Which sounds very banal.
It does.
Oh,
it's just a change of the zoning, right?
No big deal.
Right now, you might be agriculture exclusive, and you can have one house and a barn. And we might switch you to medium density housing, and all of a sudden, you could create that same property. You could build 150 units, right? I mean, that's the power of the change of zoning. We could go the reverse. Say this is an area that we really want to hold for, you know, natural resource space. So all of a sudden, you've gone from a
heavy, valuable piece of property
that has industrial to all of a sudden something that allows much less development. So yeah, property owners get involved, they get interested. You know, what we're looking for right now is whatever the community would consider to be a compatible use in that neighborhood, how can we open up to mixed zoning so that property owners have options that meet that unique look of that neighborhood.
So when you have a community that has a high percentage renters,
mm-hmm, which Arcata does,
rather than property owners, renters oftentimes are the ones that are a little bit more vocal. If the property owners are out of market, is that just a dichotomy that has to be worked through?
I'd say we have found the opposite to be true in our long-range planning. It is property owners that have been much more involved in the planning.
So out of area will come in?
Yeah, or they have a local rep. I mean, most of these are owners that are local or, you know, have local ties.
So it's not the investment community.
Yeah, we it's do still find locals. It's individual families that still own the properties, even if they live out of the area.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Arcata City Manager Karen Diemer. Karen, you had mentioned that Mad River was looking to kind of do a little bit of additional housing as part of their facility. Then there's a little bit of area there. Is that zoned ag? Is that zoned something else that would allow for the housing? Because I would think with the infrastructure that's in the neighborhood already, that's the kind of stuff that you're looking for.
The hospital does have a lot of acres that are around the hospital. And when the city went through long-range planning 25 years ago, so this is how these decisions kind of come around full circle. At the time, the hospital was zoned an agricultural-type zoning. And they asked for all of their property to become what's zoned public facilities for use of, like, hospitals, schools, fire departments, and there is a fire station.
Now you got one of everything
And so that zoning change was made 25 years ago when the city went through this process before. But part of that decision 25 years ago was, and then kind of reiterated again about 15 years ago, was that half of that remaining open space property that does have prime ag soils on it would be left as open space. So that was a decision that went into the environmental documents and the analysis when that zoning change was made.
So part
many
of the deal.
Years ago, so part of the deal.
Yeah.
So the hospital has worked on getting different types of development off the ground over the years, but really hasn't facilitated a lot of development other than a small expansion of the hospital itself. And they are also really struggling with workforce housing. And so they did come forward and ask if the council, if they really started to develop out plans for that site, if the council would be willing to look at reducing that open space requirement, not down to zero, but down to something less than 50%.
That would seem, most parks aren't that size, in a city.
So yeah, I mean,
sounds like a reasonable request, particularly with the pressure of housing.
When you look at it from an aerial map and you see that it is sort of this inholding of open space with, you know, development on, you know, all sides of it, yes, from a picture, you know, sense, it does make a lot of sense. There are a lot of supporters of historic ag uses in this county, which is a value that Arcata holds as well. So that is the decision that the Planning Commission, the council will wrestle with.
Are there cows on there now or sheep?
I think they have some horses.
Okay, but it's not being used.
It's not active production. The hospital did put in a multi-acre farm that produces food for the hospital, for employees, for patients.
So they're not looking at plowing that under.
No, they're not. And that's been a really just successful garden space for them and farming space for them.
So it's tough, I suspect, to go backwards and look at what was and try to interpret. I mean, we see that in so many other areas.
Yeah, it was interesting. One of our council members, you know, when she finally put the dates together on the dais, she said, yeah, and I was sitting on this council when we made that decision. And now I look at it differently. Who could that be?
Yeah.
But no, obviously it was Alex Stillman. But you could just see the light bulb go on. It was just like, yes, I was part of that decision. And yes, it was important. And yes, now I see my community has other needs and I'd be willing to look at this. You know, so
that would require a zoning change?
It could.
To allow for the extra houses?
Yeah, if there's certain areas that they wanted higher density housing, we'd be looking at zone change.
But not 8 stories.
I don't know how many stories they're proposing. Sorry. I doubt it would be 8 stories. But
that probably is going to linger forever for you.
It will. Yep. Yeah, and the Craftsman Mall, is building 7.
So they didn't even maximize the 8 potential.
Well, and the university is not subject to the city's regulations. So I suppose.
How many housing units are they looking at, ideally, if the city permits or allows? Is it a big splash, a little splash?
Yeah, we didn't, I'll say like the gateway area, depending on decisions that are made, that whole region, which we describe as sort of like 64 city blocks, could house, in addition to what it has now, anywhere from like 1,500 to 3,000 housing units. Depending again on decisions on how much parking is required, how high the buildings can go, how much open space is left on each property.
Property sellers.
Willing property developers, but even just to find the potential of an area like that. So, an area like Mad River Hospital, could they get 150, 300 units? A lot of it depends on, what type of housing they're really looking at developing.
Well, I would think if it was for their staff, they would have a pretty good sense of what everybody wanted, whether it was a condo size or something a little bit larger.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't think too many people would want a ranch-style house right next to work.
Really got away from everything behind the fence.
Yeah. Yeah, walk through the gate. Yeah. Unless you like the house call approach if you're a doctor.
But I go to your house, doctor, because you're right next to the hospital.
Parking's easier. Yeah. Parking would be part of that, obviously.
Parking is a huge part of the equation. Yeah, and that when you talk about spirited debate, right, there are people that are coming forward saying, don't require any parking. It's time to just make it really inconvenient to have a car. And then there's other people saying your parking standards are already too low. Every unit should require at least 2 parking spaces, because we've got some developments say that, only require 1 parking space per living unit. And in a college town, there's often 3 or 4 or 5 students that might be in a small 2-bedroom house, and that could be 4 or 5 cars, right? So, it's just that those are huge decisions that the Planning Commission is wrestling with around parking standards.
Is there a zoning called college housing?
Yeah.
To accommodate this additional parking versus others?
No, and the university is getting, more strict about first and second year students trying to not bring cars. How do you make that?
How do you get here?
How do you get here? How do you get around once you are here?
Yeah, how do you
shop?
And
there are ways to do that. The university has shared cars, zip cars, that you can reserve and jump in and rent and use.
Is that like the green bikes?
Not like the green, but I have to say, so Brian is talking about many, many years ago, the city of Arcata tried a green bike program. And it was just to have free bikes around town. It made perfect sense. But yes, many of them ended up in the slough channels, and we were digging them out for years. So that was not.
What is that? Just a quick little aside.
It was still a good idea. And so it's come back. But now we charge people, right? So now we have private companies that, we have one in Arcata that has bike share stations. And so you do put in your credit card, and it unlocks a bike, and you use them. And they're actually getting used quite a bit.
That there's an accountability with that.
I loved the idea of free green bikes. It was so perfect. But
Are those scooters in Eureka working out?
I don't know. I
haven't seen.
They're super fun. I have to say, I have ridden on a few of them, not in Eureka, but I haven't seen them around town.
Do they require a helmet?
They don't require. Certainly, it would be good to have one.
If bicycles do, you'd think a scooter would.
The rental, the shared bicycles don't come with helmets either. That is an issue.
Oh, that'd be gross. Yeah.
I know. Nobody would put it on.
Yeah,
I hear you.
Yeah. KINS, News and Information, Times 843.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Arcata City Manager Karen Diemer. Heard an interesting little something about signing bonuses.
Yeah.
Earlier this week.
The city is recruiting police officers, as is every other city, probably in the nation, certainly in California. But we just felt like looking at our numbers, Arcata has gotten to a critical low number in our sworn officers. So in just January of 2020, we were at 29 sworn, I'll call staff.
Those are badges with guns?
Certified badges, we'll say, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Within the city's department. Currently, right now, we're sitting at 19. So, you know, that's almost that's a little over a third down. From what we're budgeted to have. So we are actively recruiting. We hopefully have many candidates that will be in the academy, but the next police academy here locally at CR, thankful that we have that academy, but starts in July, it ends in December, and then they have 3 or 4 months of field training. So even officers that we have ready to go for the academy won't actually be independently operating themselves for a year.
Yeah.
Yeah, so looking to infuse some, you know, already trained working police officers within our department. So the city is offering $50,000 signing bonuses. They're paid out over about a 2.5-year period. Front-loaded in that first, I'll say, 9 months is about $30,000 probably in that payment.
Like for relocation, if somebody's
from out
of the
area? Yeah, if somebody's coming from out of the area, they're leaving something, you know, certainly behind, whether it's time on the books or, you know, whatever those expenses are to get here.
That's right, because you don't transfer. If I've got 15 years towards a 25-year retirement plan and move. I lose the 15, right?
The 15 is not lost if you're in California. If you're within the CalPERS system, which is the largest retirement system.
Is that what cops are?
Public agency.
They're in there?
Many of them. Like
okay.
LAPD is not. San Diego PD is not. Most others are. Some of the huge departments like those two have their own systems. But most police, like state police are, county sheriffs mostly are in CalPERS. Up and down the state. So, yeah, for the most part, you carry that retirement, your years of service with you to the new agency. So we are actively looking for police officers. Our department is solid. We have a really good, solid department with a really solid, well-trained and good mentoring chief right now. It is a good time to work for Arcata Police Department. And we think that if we can get a few people in there for a couple of years to see that we can build those ranks and have a really strong team. The council's reflection on it Wednesday night when they supported the hiring bonuses was that a majority, maybe almost 100% of the calls that they receive from constituents, concerns about the city could be answered with a full police force. So whether that's, you know, complaints on traffic safety and traffic enforcement, vehicle enforcement, or whether it's, you know, crime, burglaries, thefts, whether it's in the neighborhoods or in the business district, a lot of the answer to that would be to be back at full staff within our police department. So getting that word out far and wide that it's a good time to give Arcata Police Department a look and reach out to either myself or the department. You can apply online. All of our applications are online now, and we'll just get you in and get you through and see what Arcata has to offer. It's a fun college town to work in. It's a variety. Our police department sees a lot of different things every day. We're not a sleepy little town.
That's kind of the ongoing theme everybody talks about. You know, it may not be the numbers, so the depth of
or
frequency, but the spectrum is well represented across the board.
Yeah,
it still stuns me that folks that are, let's just say, more experienced in life than I am, are out there dealing drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you okay? I guess it is what it is, but you hear some of the ages of these folks that are dealing with fentanyl and some of these, and they're in their 60s, 70s, and it's like, really, that's what you want to leave behind? Apparently it doesn't matter a heck of a lot to some folks, but
People get into that business for all different kinds of reasons. But
yeah. So is the budget there to add 10?
It is, because we're budgeted for those 10 right now. And so what I say is, yes, like 50,000 does seem like a really high number for a hiring bonus.
You're halfway through or two-thirds of the way through the fiscal year.
But we'll pay $65,000 to bring somebody through the academy, right? So these are monies that the city is going to pay one way or the other
to get a
trained officer on our streets. Yeah.
Well, that's like a no-brainer. Hopefully the council didn't deliberate too long.
They clearly saw the financial ease of that decision.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:42. We're out, or 8:52. We're out of here.
We're out of time.
All right.
Well, enjoy your spring.
Well, and enjoy your planning commission meetings.
We will. This Saturday, 8:30. Don't miss Arcata's Planning Commission.
Oh.
In person, Arcata City Hall.
Donuts?
And on Zoom.
Donuts?
Yeah, I think they are doing donuts and coffee.
All right.
Or something and coffee.
See you every Monday.